10th chapter, book of Mark, chapter 10. We'll read verses 17 to verse 27. And when he, Jesus, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto the disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Matthew, Mark, and Luke all give account of what we have here. It is the account of a rich young ruler coming to Christ, inquiring about salvation. Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 19. Luke records it in Luke chapter 18. And Mark here in our text. All three, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, write out in detail what took place, and there's very little variation between the three accounts. And by giving us the details, they remind us that what is recorded here is of immense importance. We see from what is recorded here, the ignorance and the need of the unsaved sinner. We see from what is recorded here, there's an example of Christ dealing with the sinner and his need. What we read here of Christ dealing with this particular sinner serves as a very sharp rebuke of modern evangelistic methods and so-called gospel preaching of today. I believe you have a very detailed account here of how to deal, how to talk to a lost sinner, and we've preached on that aspect of this in the past. But in the account, the young man who approached Christ, verse 17, it says he came running. That is, he was anxious, he was concerned about his soul, and he was very zealous. Also in verse 17, we see that he kneeled to him. So he was reverent, he was very respectful toward Christ. Also in verse 17, he asked the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He had obviously given some thought to spiritual matters as it applied to him personally, and he was very sincere in his question. In the account, we see that he was a very moral man. He was orthodox in his creed, at least in outward appearance. And we see also he was a man who recognized Christ. He was a man who had some appreciation for Christ. But what the account reveals to us is that concern and interest in spiritual matters will not save your soul. It will not save you. And that earnestness and zeal in spiritual matters will not save your soul. And reverence and respect for Christ will not save your soul. And thoughtfulness and seriousness about your soul will not save you. Morality, outward obedience will not save your soul. Orthodoxy will not save your soul. A knowledge and recognition of Christ will not save your soul. We see that this man had all of these things, but none of these things could obtain salvation, could obtain the eternal life that he was interested in. So the subject matter of the account is the salvation of a sinner. And Christ illustrates the miraculous work of salvation by saying in verse 25, it is easier. So there's a comparison being made. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Again, the word easier denotes a comparison. The salvation of a sinner is more miraculous than a camel going through the eye of a needle, is what Jesus is saying. When the disciples heard this, verse 26, it says they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? And in verse 27, Jesus looking upon them, that is the disciples who were having this discussion, saith, with men, it. What's it referring to? Salvation. It is impossible. For with men, salvation is impossible. But then there's hope. But not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now, Matthew records, Matthew 19:26, with men, this, salvation, is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And Luke records, in Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men, salvation, are possible with God. So, Christ is telling them that the saving of a sinner is more difficult, is more miraculous than a camel going through the eye of a needle. When he uses that illustration of a camel and a needle, he's doing so with reference to salvation. Now, it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And even more so, it is impossible for a sinner to save himself. Amen. Cannot be done. But God can. But God can. So what is being taught here is that man cannot earn, man cannot achieve salvation. But God can save the sinner. What is being taught here is that salvation is a miracle of God's doing. It is a miracle of God's doing. Now, even though salvation is more astounding, more miraculous than a camel going through the eye of a needle, modern evangelism, and that's not our subject tonight, but modern evangelism has reduced salvation to something less than a miracle. Salvation is always a miracle, and it is always a miracle of God's doing. Always. It is a miraculous work of God. But tonight we want to consider this thought. A camel through the eye of a needle. And although the context is salvation, there is a wide application to our lives. A camel through the eye of a needle. We want to take our main thought from verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And then in verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So picture, if you can, a camel going through the eye of a needle. And then focus upon what Christ said in verse 27. With men it is impossible. Man cannot thread a camel through the eye of a needle. It's an impossibility. It cannot be done. No matter what man does, he cannot get a camel through the eye of a needle. But notice what Christ says. With God, all things are possible. So you have a camel, you have a needle. And Christ is saying, God can thread that camel through the eye of a needle. God can do that. But not only that, God does greater than that. Because it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in heaven. So God not only can thread a camel through the eye of a needle, God does things that exceed that, is what this verse is teaching us. And that is our subject. God can exceed threading a camel through the eye of a needle. Now there are two types of camels. Dromedary, they have one hump. And there is Bactrian, they have two humps. So it would be more difficult to get a Bactrian camel through the eye of a needle than a dromedary. A fully grown camel is about 6 feet tall at the shoulder and weighs between 1,300 and 2,200 pounds. Is it possible to get that camel through the eye of a needle? It is impossible with man, but it is possible with God. And God does even greater than threading a camel through the eye of a needle. Now this is a truth that is illustrated throughout the Word of God. You take a camel, you take a needle, you get out your calculator, you examine every angle, you do all the math you want to do. You're not getting that camel through that eye of that needle. Not going to happen. Study all the angles. Turn that camel any way you want. You're not getting that camel through the eye of a needle. Call in all the experts. Call in the most experienced of people. You are not getting that camel through the eye of a needle. Well, if we do it this way, it's not going to happen. You put forth all the effort you want to. You can spend the rest of your life trying to push that camel through the eye of a needle, but guess what? You can't do it. It's impossible. And now, how many of God's people are spinning their wheels trying to get a camel through the eye of a needle? That's foolishness. It can't be done. But God can. And He can even do greater. And when God saves a sinner, that's something greater than threading a camel through the eye of a needle. And this is a truth that is taught and demonstrated again and again throughout the Word of God. God can. It is possible with God. God can do more than thread a camel through the eye of a needle. We're reminded throughout the Word of God that God is able. God can. I don't care what the situation is. God is able. God can. I don't care how impossible it may seem. God can. God is able. In Genesis chapter 18, God came to Abraham and Sarah in their old age, informed them that they were going to have a son in their old age. And Sarah laughed. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" In verse 15, God put forth a question for their seemingly impossible situation. He said, "Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God?" It is a rhetorical question. For Abraham and Sarah to have a child in their old age is a camel and eye of a needle situation. They can't, but God can. So here the question: is anything too hard for God? Hear that question in the context, not in the context of the situation, but hear the question in the context of who God is. Is anything too hard for God? Our tendency is to view things from the situation. And we need to view things from who God is. And is anything too hard for God? He's unequaled. He's incomparable. He's unrivaled. He's unsurpassed. He's the absolute authority. He's above all. He's over all. He possesses absolute dominion over all. He rules all. He's in control of all. He manages, He directs, He guides, and He governs all things. Is anything too hard for Him? He excels all. He's more immense than all. He's superior to all. He is the Almighty. That is, He's the God of all might. He possesses all power. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for Almighty? He's all-knowing. God knows how to get a camel through the eye of a needle. You can gather all the experts you want to. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's an expert in camels going through the eye of a needle. There's experts for everything. But they're not getting that camel to go through the eye of a needle. No expert can do that. They don't have the answer. They don't have the knowledge. But God is all-knowing. He knows how. His knowledge is infinite. His knowledge is perfect. His knowledge is perpetual. He is all-sufficient. He is all-fullness. He's unfailing. He's inexhaustible. He's omnipresent. He's Creator God. Jeremiah acknowledged Him as the Creator in Jeremiah 32:17. He said, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and Thy stretched out arm. And then He went on to say in the same verse, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. View it in the light of Creator God. Let there be light, and there was light. View the situation in the light of who God is. And there's nothing too hard for God. He's the one who just by a word spoke, placed the sun, placed the moon, placed the stars, placed the galaxies, placed the planets in the sky. Just by a word. He's the one who by a word created the mind-boggling distance of the stars. Until you can do that, your know-how doesn't mean a thing. He can do that which surpasses threading a camel through the eye of a needle. God can. Man cannot. But the one who created the seas, the one who created the oceans and the lakes and the rivers and the streams, the one who created the mountains and the hills and the valleys, the one who created the animal kingdom and the plant kingdom, and created the thunder and created the lightning, the one who causes the grass to grow, and the one who is the master of the wind, the rain, the snow, and the hail. He can do that which surpasses threading a camel through a needle. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? The one who took the dust of the ground and formed man, He can. The one who sustains all, there is nothing too hard for Thee. He can do that which man cannot even think of doing. Luke 1:37. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, following his announcement, you're going to conceive in your womb without the aid of a man. And the angel said to her, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, again, He's not viewing it from the aspect of the situation, but from who God is. He can do that which surpasses threading a camel through the eye of a needle. The God that is presented in this book is the same yesterday, tomorrow, and forever. In other words, the God of yesterday is the God of today. And the God of today is the God of tomorrow. And the God of the past is the God of the present. And the God of the past and present is the God of the future. And God can. God can. God can. Well, that's impossible. God can. That needs to be embedded in our minds. It needs to be engraved upon our hearts. Because there are situations that are equal to and even go beyond a camel going through the eye of a needle. But God can. God can. The God who fed Israel for 40 years with manna. Has he run out of manna? Not hardly. He still has manna. And he can still do that which surpasses a camel going through the eye of a needle. The God who provided water in the rock still has water. And he can do that which surpasses a camel going through the eye of a needle. The God who led Israel through the wilderness, he still knows the way through the wilderness. We may lose our way. We may not know the way, but God still knows the way. And God can still thread a camel through the eye of a needle. The God who made the bitter water sweet, he can still sweeten the bitter things of life. God can do that. The God who brought the walls of Jericho down is still greater than any wall man might ever erect. And he can still do that which surpasses a camel going through the eye of a needle. The God who gave Gideon victory, and Gideon and his 300 men, is still the God who can use the few and the feeble. Well, there's only a handful of us. So what? There's God. There's God. Don't view it in how few there are. View it in who God is. And God can. God can. There's a God who caused David to defeat Goliath. And he's still the God who topples giants. And who can give victory over insurmountable odds. The God who used the ravens to feed Elijah. The God who used the widow woman at Zarephath to sustain Elijah. He still reigns. He still lives. And he can still send the ravens. And he can still use the widow woman who has nothing. Because it's not about the widow woman who has nothing. It's about who God is. God can do that which surpasses a camel going through the eye of a needle. The God of Mount Carmel still hears the prayers of His people. He still does the miraculous. The God who increased the widow woman's oil still can. He can take nothing and make it something. The God who delivered Israel from captivity. Still a God of deliverance. The God who walked with the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace is still a God who can meet you in the fiery furnace before you ever get there and bring you through. The God who shut the mouths of lions is still a God in control. The God who sent a revival in a boneyard. Caused the bones to come together and clothed those bones with flesh and breathed the breath of life is still able to put the pieces back together. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and not only that, he owns the hills as well. He still does. He still does. The economy does not affect God. Has no effect upon Him whatsoever. How much money you have, how much money you don't have, has no effect upon God. The one who fed over 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes is still able to stretch our paltry means and do wondrous things. Again, little is much when God is in it. The one who came to the disciples in the storm-tossed waters, calm the storm with a word, He's still the master of the wind. Hasn't changed. The one who caused Peter to walk on water can still do the same. He can still cause any one of us to walk on water. The one who healed the sick, the one who caused the blind to see, the one who caused the deaf to hear and caused the lame to walk, He's still the great restorer. Nothing is too hard for Him. The one who liberated the demon-possessed. Still the great emancipator. Nothing's changed. The one who raised the dead. Still the life-giver. And he can do that which surpasses threading a camel through the eye of a needle. So again, a man, no matter how much education he has, no matter how much ability he has, no matter how smart he is, he cannot get a camel through the eye of a needle. But God can. God can. He can do that which surpasses a camel going through the eye of a needle. Do you believe that? Amen. We ought to believe it. Because the Bible teaches it. We've experienced it. The needle can be threaded. You have a camel, you have a needle, and that camel can be threaded through that needle. With men, it's impossible. But not with God. God can. So how does all this apply to you and I? We need to know. We need to feel the overwhelming fact of God. We don't have any problems knowing and feeling the difficult situations that we might find ourselves in. We're pretty good at that. But all we need to know and feel the overwhelming fact of God. Because no matter what your situation is, no matter how impossible it may seem, God is. And He is greater than any situation. He is greater than any problem. We all face from time to time situations that are comparable or go beyond a camel going through the eye of a needle. And in those situations, remember these words, there's nothing too hard for thee. Nothing too hard for thee. God can exceed a camel going through the eye of a needle. There are needs, and sometimes there is no sign of provision in sight. A camel and needle situation. There are burdens that can weigh us down. There are trials, there are difficulties that at times appear to be unending. And there are battles and there are struggles that appear to be unwinnable. And there are foes that appear to be unstoppable. And there are obstacles and there are challenges that appear to be insurmountable. And there are problems that are beyond the solution of man. There are problems that man cannot solve. And there are rivers that are impassable. And there are enemy fortifications that cannot be broken through. And there are wildernesses that there appears to be no way out. And there are valleys that at times appear to be endless. And there are hurts, and there are wounds, and there are sorrows. And there are heartaches. And many times without a remedy in sight. And there's that which is broken. There's that which is torn. Things that are broken and torn that man cannot repair or mend. And there is waste and ruin with no sign of restoration. And there are storms and there are appear to be no break in the clouds anywhere. And there is weariness with no relief in sight. And there are prisons with no release in sight. But you take all of those things, God can. God can. God can. And though we are often faced with that which is equal or beyond, a camel going through the eye of a needle, God can thread that needle and God can do even greater than that. So don't ever give up. Because if you give up, you're giving up on God. You're not giving up on the situation. You're giving up on God. The problem is not the situation. The problem is a lack of focus upon who God is. We must not lose sight of that. So rather than trying to get a camel to go through the eye of a needle, ask God to do the miracle. Rather than trying to figure it all out, you know how much time is wasted by God's people trying to figure things out? Rather than trying to figure it out, just ask God to do a miracle. He can. Rather than doing the math, out comes the calculator. I've said before, unless you have a but God button on that calculator, throw it away. Rather than doing the math, ask God to do the miracle. You can drive yourself nuts trying to do the math, and it doesn't work. There's no way that we can do this on paper. It's an impossibility. And that's a true statement. Yes, it's impossible for man, but there's God. And He can take the few fishes and the few loaves, and He can multiply it. So we need to stop trying to figure things out and ask God to do the miracle. There ain't anybody here that doesn't need a miracle in their life. Doesn't need a miracle in someone in your family needs a miracle. Every one of us stand in need of miracles. Every one of us is a miracle. We're a creation miracle of God. Just the fact that we're here is a miracle. And you know how many miracles have to be done to keep us here? And then we get into our salvation. We're miracles of God. Do you believe in miracles? I most certainly do. I am one. I am one. I experience miracles every day. I'm not always aware of it. The human body is a miracle. Know and embrace that God can. Just know that. And then embrace it. God can. And then place your confidence in Him. Where is your confidence tonight? Place your confidence in Him. Depend upon Him. Be persuaded in Him. Oh, we're going to bring in the best minds and figure this out. Be persuaded in God. There is no mind equal to God's mind. Trust in Him. Lean upon Him. Look to Him. When you're faced with a camel and the eye of a needle situation, look to God. Don't try to figure it out. Look to God. Come to God. Plead with God. Walk with God. Go to Him. Talk with Him. Cast all your care upon Him. Know that God can. And expect that He will. We say that we know that God can, but we don't expect that He will. And we're all guilty. But know that God can and expect that He will. Plead with Him for the miracle. God help us not to get caught up and not to be overwhelmed by the situation. But however difficult the situation, look at it through who God is. That changes the situation. You do a comparison between the situation and God, and the situation looks a lot different. Now you do a comparison between the situation and our own ability and our own minds, we're in trouble. But we need to consider our situations through the light of who God is. God help us to know, to believe, to be absolutely persuaded. God not only can thread a camel through a needle, He can do more than that. He can do better than that. And He has. We've seen it. All of us have. We may not recognize it when we see it, but we've seen it. Trust God. Trust God. You cannot go wrong. Trusting, depending on the Lord. Just trust Him. All will be well because it's in His hands. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.